You're listening to Bit by Bit, January 10th, 2008. Hello and welcome. This is Bob Sprankle with Bit by Bit, a podcast by teachers for teachers talking about integrating technology into the classroom and the changing environment in the 21st century. Well, we are back a second day in a row with the last recording that I have of the Krista McCullough conference that took place in November down in Nashua, New Hampshire. And as promised yesterday, this is Dr. Tim Tyson again with the last workshop he did called The Blogging School. Outstanding presentation. He talks about how blogs are maximizing student engagement and academic achievement and the benefits of working with people all around the world. So sit back, and we're going back to November 28th, 2007 with Dr. Tim Tyson and The Blogging School.
We will get started, because I think we're supposed to start at 1:30. The first thing I wanted to show you, just for fun, was one of the last projects. Can't hear me. Maybe I should use the mic that they suggested. I don't see it now. One of the things that we started at the very end of the year, my last year at Mabry, was a project to document the school building in panoramas. You know what a panorama is? It's a series of photographs that are stitched together by the computer, that are assembled then and placed on a website, and you can assign hot spots in the panorama so that, would you mind pulling that door too? Thank you. So that you can click on an area and go to another panorama that is from that area. So you can literally move about the building. And so the eighth grade teachers, you know, they're brilliant. They have the students do a project which they call 6Seed, S-I-X, for sixth grade, take off on succeed, be successful. 6Seed was written by the eighth grade teachers as a blog, but students as a blog, about answering questions that were posted by sixth grade, rising sixth grade, soon to be sixth grade, now in fifth grade, students about Mabry. So the students would post these questions, and our students would then answer the questions about Mabry Middle School, how to be successful at Mabry. So the objective of the project was then to include these panoramas so that a new student coming to Mabry Middle School could know what it was like, where everything was, before they ever walked in the front door. And so this is an example of one of those. Now, what's cool about a panorama is that you can click on the image and take control over it. So we picked music that we thought the kids would like. That's another interesting lesson, too, in talking with students, is teaching students that when they're making digital media objects, they're not making it for themselves. They're making it for their audience. So who is their audience? Does their audience like their favorite band? You know, so when we're talking about making a global contribution and the world is your audience, it's about the point of your video and using resources that will make that point in a way that sells the point to your audience. So maybe you don't use your favorite band because that's not what the world's into. It's a hard lesson. But I picked horrendous music because I thought this was music that the audience would
make
like.
Make you a much more successful student.
And grab
Mabry
a hold
has
of
much
it.
To offer to all that come here. Mabry gives its students many
and
options
you can totally
regarding
move
classes.
All around.
Band, orchestra, fitness, and business are just a few of the classes
and
that you may explore in your journey at Mabry.
You can
the
zoom
teachers in.
In
all of these classes are unique and will help you learn. This virtual tour will help you become a better and more
So that gives you an idea of what it's like. You can actually move around the images and then linking them together was the ultimate objective of the project, so that the students could navigate their way through. So this session is putting your school on the grid. And what I'm really wanting to talk about is using blogging and putting digital media on the web to expand the walls of your school. So I'm going to use as my springboard for doing this Mabry's site, and we'll look at what Mabry's site is, not because this is the way to do it, but because I hope it will give you some ideas of ways that it might work in your setting. And we're going to explore the site in some detail today. The first thing you'll notice is that there's motion on the site. Those that were in my last session, I talked about how do you grab and hold people's attention. Motion times novelty. So the website has motion. What I find is interesting is, as I leave this page up and talk, nobody looks at me. Everybody watches, especially when the image changes. Motion is irresistible to us. So there's motion on the website. It's a little flash animation. It's Creative Commons. Anybody in the world can use it. You just drop your pictures in, define the size, and off you can go. The other interesting thing about the site to me is that it looks like a web page, but this is actually a collection of about 100 blogs. It is totally built from blogs. And I want to make sure we're supposed to stop at 2:30, is that right? Who will be my timekeeper that will remind me at 15 after to stop, to just shut up? Because this will probably generate lots of questions. Will you do that for me? Okay, thank you. So what we did here is on this web page, this page itself is a compilation of three blogs. This blog over here, Mabry News, and scrolling down, I'll show you that in a second, is a section that was my blog. I was responsible for keeping it for that. The link up at the top that says student information was the assistant principal's blog. She was responsible for keeping that up. The section on parent information was the administrative assistant's blog, responsible for keeping that up. So everybody had their slice of the web site that they were responsible for. I did this because our webmaster retired. And when she retired, I'm thinking, now, who am I going to get to replace her? She knew JavaScript. And lots of stuff on the site was in JavaScript. And the menus broke. And the menus were in JavaScript. And I didn't know how to fix them. I didn't know anybody that did know how to fix them. So I was thinking, they hated her anyway. And do you know why they hated her? Not because she wasn't a wonderful person. Oh, she was lovely. Because she would come up to the teacher and say, I've asked you 7 times now for your syllabus. I've got to post it on our website because Dr. Tyson's getting mad at me. And they would say, yes, I know. I'll get it to you, I promise. And they're just like, I just wish she would go away. So when she retired, I'm thinking, I don't want to put anybody else in that position. That everybody's going to hate. So my brilliant idea was, how do I redistribute the workload? She already had a full-time job anyway, and then had this extra responsibility. So what if the website was everyone's job? What if you as a teacher had your section that you were responsible for, and when your syllabus didn't get posted, I could tell that it wasn't posted, and I knew it was your fault. I would come knocking on your door. You see where I'm going with this? So it was an accountability piece. So I thought, if everybody kept up the website, it would be just a little bit of work for each person versus a whole lot of work for one person. So my vacation time comes along during the summertime. Incidentally, this all also got preceded by the presidents, the two presidents from the PTSA, sitting down with me at the end of the year as we talked about the end of the year and how the year had gone and where we wanted to go the next year and so forth. And they said, you know, Dr. Tyson, Mabry is just so well known for technology and all, but are you aware of the fact that everybody in the whole community laughs about the website? It was true. It was horrible. So I decided, okay, it's time to do something about the website. And I woke up on Saturday, the first day of my vacation, and I thought, I'm going to dabble with this and see, can we do a blogging thing and put blogs as a website? And so I started playing with it. And for my two-week vacation, I literally spent 18 to 22 hours a day working on this because I knew nothing about templates, about setting up a MySQL database, about database calls. About, you know, I was like, oh, man, my brain was hurting. And for literally every day of my two-week vacation, literally the entire time, and I finished, and this is what was born. And I thought, this is fantastic. It's great. I'm mad as hell. I used my whole vacation to do this. So I called up my boss, and I told her I was mad as hell. And she said, oh, don't worry. Blip that out on the podcast, by the way. And she said, oh, don't worry. We'll give you 2 weeks off, you know, because I worked harder for the school district then than I ever have. So what I did was the school district wants everything on their servers. And I'm not advocating this. I'm advocating that you work with your school district through these issues. They wanted everything on their servers, which meant that in order to publish anything, you had to be within the school district to do it. You had to be behind the firewall. And I told them this is not acceptable because I had an orchestra teacher that was about to go off to Germany and a tour of Europe with his family studying the life of Mozart. And he said, oh, this will be cool, you know, if I could post to my blog and have all that stuff appear for my students. And I was like, yeah, we've got to do that. Because for me, it's always about what's right for kids. And so I purchased from DreamHost, a company out in California, for $200, more bandwidth than we'll ever use, and more server space than we will ever use. We were using with, at that time it was about 1.5 million hits per month. We were using about 5% of the bandwidth that they were giving. So it was more than adequate. I called up Movable Type. It's a company, the company's name is Six Apart. And I said, you know, we're a school, we want to do this blogging thing. How much will you sell me your software for? Because we can't pay the thousands of dollars that you want for it. And they said, well, how many teachers will blog? I said, all of them. And they said, well, how do you know that? They don't want to blog. I said, well, they will. They said, well, we'll pretend that maybe about 50 of them will actually do it. So they charged us $300, which they're not going to do that anymore, I'll tell you that. You know, but that was a steal of a deal. So for $500, Mabry Online was born, plus 2 weeks of my vacation time. So yeah, it was pretty intense, that part of it. So this is the website, and I wanted to look through it today to get some idea of it. Now, why blogging? This is a question I get. Why not just a regular web page? There are several reasons. Reason number one is blogging is much easier to keep current than a website. What I sold the teachers on at Mabry was this, because it's true. If you can send an email, you can publish to a blog. It is that easy. You know, in an email, you've got your subject line. Well, on a blog, that's your title for your post. Then you've got whatever you want to say in your email. That's the post itself. And then you've got the send button that you have on email. Well, on a blog, that's publish. That's it. Type, publish. Boom. Real simple. So I convinced folks that this would be a much easier way to communicate and keep up current information. the curse of the website is that it takes so much time to embed a little HTML, FTP, passwords, it gets too complicated too fast for a teacher who's already too busy. So that was one of the big things. But then the super cool thing about the blog is RSS. You know what I'm talking about? So that when you post, if your parents have subscribed to your blog, the information comes to them automatically. They don't have to do anything. Now that was powerful. So that's why I think blogs. When we first started out, let me give you some, and this is for the administrator types in the room, some ideas of how do you sell this. When we first started out, I explored this, and I was looking at it from my personal perspective. As, if I were a teacher in the classroom, what would I have to be successful today? And I was hearing this stuff 3-4 years ago about blogs. What is this? And I started exploring it. And I did what I always do. I sent an email to my nephew, a 20-something-year-old. I think he just turned 30. And I said, what's this blog thing? And is this something that a school could use? And my nephew likes to humor me because he says that he wished that at least one of his principals of any school that he attended had just that much interest in technology when he was a student. So he humored me and he sent me an email back and said, I don't know, find out for yourself. Here's the URL to your new blog. So he made one for me, and I started playing with it. Well, the more I played with it, the more I thought, man, if I were a teacher, I would have to have this. This connects me with parents. It connects me with students. This is fantastic. So I started talking about it. That was the first step. I'm totally subversive. I knew where I was going. I started talking about it with teachers. And then the hurricane hit Pensacola, Florida, my hometown, where my mom and all the family lives down here. And she was able to get one telephone call out. After the hurricane hit, I heard on the news that the place where they were all staying, the shelter, was totally destroyed. I'm like, oh my God, that's where my family stays. She got one call out before the battery of her cell phone was dead and she couldn't charge it. There was no electricity. And she said, all the family is okay. The houses are destroyed, no roofs, no whatever, but the family and the pets, are all okay. So I was able to post on my personal blog about this experience. Then my extended family, my friends all around the world were like, oh, well, cool. So I start talking about this with teachers. Wouldn't it be cool to have a blog? And they started thinking, oh, so my kid in California that just had the new grandbaby could post pictures? I could see the grandbaby? Oh, wouldn't that be great? And my son that's off in college could keep up with the family and what's going on? So they saw personal relevance to the experience of doing it. And then some of them on their own started it. The next thing that I did was I decided it was time for a fried chicken dinner. We do that in the South. You don't understand that in New Hampshire, but it's great. So we did fried chicken. I told the teachers, bring your spouse, bring your children, and we're going to have fried chicken. And I'm going to explain what a blog is, how it works, the whole nine yards. Now, let's step out of that context and look at what's happening. The boss is explaining the guts of it firsthand. You hear that, principles? So we have this meeting. They're all there. We're all having a great time. We talk blogging. I showed how do you post. So easy. Wow. I think I could do that. And the deal was that if you want a blog after having had fried chicken, that I would give you a blog. If you didn't want a blog after having fried chicken, no big deal. We had a good time. So I was stunned at how many people came. I was also stunned that half of them left wanting a blog. And at this point, there was trust. They understood that I really meant that if it wasn't for them, that's okay. That's fine. you know, you're making your contribution in the Netherlands. What they didn't know was it was inevitable. I'm a patient soul. And so the next thing that happened right after that that was very, very powerful was a parent conference. And in this parent conference, you know, in middle schools, you meet with all of the teachers of the student, the parent does. It's our way of ganging up against the parent, right? And so this mom is sitting there, and she said, you know, I'm going to use the teacher's name because I love her to death, and she is just spectacular but beyond belief. She says, Miss Abrams, you know, I don't have any idea what my child is supposed to be doing in your class. All I know is he's not doing it because he's failing your class. And could you, maybe once a week, give me a list of things that he was supposed to have done that I can make sure that he's done it? And Miss Abrams smiled and very professionally said, well, absolutely, I'll be glad to do that. Which being interpreted meant, I hate this kid, he's making me have to do extra work, right? And so then the parent turned to the science teacher, Mr. Swanson, and said, Mr. Swanson, your bio blog is the coolest thing in the world. Every day my son comes home and says, Mom, look at what we did today in science. And we get on your blog and we go through it. And the movie that you put up the other night of the paramecium under the microscope, that was the coolest thing. I wish my science teacher had been as cutting edge as you are. Now, what is Miss Abrams thinking? I hate this man, right? And so Miss Abrams is smart, though. So Miss Abrams thinking, well, you know, if I've got to do it for one student, why am I not doing it for every student? So she says, Dr. Tyson, why can't I have a blog? Hello? So we gave her a blog. And the professional jealousy can be a good thing. And the folks started getting excited about this because in Mr. Swanson's class, not only did all the parents want their kid to have Mr. Swanson, which turned up the heat on the other science teachers, but the parents thought that science was cool. And the other powerful thing about this is this says to the community, this is who we are at Mabry. Despite what you read in the newspaper about public schools in our area, this is who we are. This is what we do. Do you know, the organization's name has escaped me. I always mix them up. Pi Delta, Kappa, Pi, whatever it is. That organization, they do an annual poll. And the poll the year before this past one, which just was done, released information that I thought was stunning for principals and superintendents. That poll says that if you go to Joe on the street and say, Joe, how's the public school down the street doing from where you live? What's Joe going to say? They're doing a good job. Especially if Joe has a kid there or a grandchild there. Because Joe knows those people. He knows those teachers are working hard. He knows his kid is working hard. So he feels pretty good about that school. What happens if you ask Joe, so how are America's public schools doing? What's Joe going to say? They're horrible. Wait a minute. What's the disconnect? How can all these Joes all over the country be thinking that the school down the street is doing a great job and then thinking that the schools in the country are doing a bad job? It's not statistically possible, is it? The disconnect is the media. You know, all of the things I could talk about the media where I worked. You know, it was fascinating to me to have students in sessions with media present and have the students read about the session the next day in the paper and go, that's not what happened, Dr. Tyson. That's not what I said. Oh, welcome to reality. You know, it's a very powerful learning experience. So what I'm saying is blogging, having every teacher in your school blog, gives you the control of saying, this is who we are. Look for yourself. See what we do every day in this school building. This is who we are, what we value, what we're doing with your kids. And that welcomes people into your school. It's very very powerful. I knew, based on my best judgment, that in the year 2012, Mabry Middle School is going to be labeled by our federal government a failing school. Despite the fact that we have some of the highest test scores in the entire state of Georgia, it's inevitable. You know that by 2014, every single child must be on grade level or your school is a failing school. Well, that's not realistic. So I wanted my community to know firsthand the law is stupid because I know what goes on in that school. The transparency was critically important to me. I'll get off that soapbox.
All right, we're all out there with you.
My computer is doing drugs.
All right. So we created Mabry Online, and we lured the teachers into it step by step. The next thing that we did, after the teachers started wanting to have their own blog because of the professional jealousy case, was we got to a point where well over half the teachers, because they wanted them, had a blog. So there were still some people that were holding out. So then I decided, all right, I'm going to require that every teacher publish a post to a blog before the end of the school year. We won't even tell anybody that blog exists. I wanted them to see firsthand that they could do it, that this was within their grasp. And they were like, oh, that's easy. Oh, that was sort of fun. Can I post it again? And then I knew that I'd reached a point in time where I could say, if you work at Mabry Middle School next year, you will be required to post once a week to a blog. Now, I also, that was the stick, because I meant it. I'll help you find another job in another school if you don't want to do that. I'll be glad to do that, because I know you're good teachers. But the carrot was, you know that huge notebook that you have to keep of your curriculum maps that are due every month? We're going to format our posts in our blogs so that it covers that same content. So forget about those notebooks. We're not going to do those anymore.
Really?
And you know that huge notebook that they didn't know I knew this, but they had to keep a stack of everything they did all year long and relate it to our school goals. And then for their final evaluation, they had to bring in this monster notebook. Literally, some of them brought them in wagons. That they would sit down and we would go through it for their evaluation. And I'm thinking, oh, God, what a waste of my time. And they're, you know, going, I've got that meeting in 30 minutes. Where's all that stuff? You know, they're digging around. So it was totally meaningless exercise. But it was expected by somebody somewhere sometime. So I said, you know those? We're not going to do those anymore. Because what we're going to have on our website is a hidden category for each goal. So when you post, whatever that post is related to, goal 1, 2, or 3, attach it to that category. So that when you have your final end of year evaluation, we're just going to click. And all this stuff that you really did is going to show up with your students. And then we'll decide, was it effective? What do you think? And then when I had my evaluation with my boss, boy, was that an eye-opener for her. So, Dr. Tyson, what did Mabry do for your reading goal this year? Let me show you, click, and her computer melted, you know? She's like, well, this is just a bit much, isn't it? I said, it's real. It's what we really did. This was school. You know, that's powerful. You can't argue with that kind of stuff. So that was the next thing that we did, and actually requiring it. But then I went a step further, and when I met with the parents at the beginning of the first school year that this all existed, we did several things. The first thing was I told the parents, the teachers are required this year to post once a week to their blog. And then I told them, I'm doing this, and this shocked everybody. I think it shocked the teachers more than anyone. I said, I'm doing this not because the teachers don't have enough work to do. They're working 2 full-time jobs right here with your kid, but they're only getting paid for one, maybe. I said, the reason I'm requiring that they do this is because we don't have the resources we feel we need at Mabry Middle School, and I need to put you on staff. I'm expecting you, as the parents, to check these blogs every day. And when your child comes home from school, I'm expecting you to not ask, "Well, John, what'd you learn in school today?" and hear the same old nothing answer. I'm expecting you to say, "John, what did you learn about subject and verb agreement in Ms. Abrams' language arts class today?" And then when he says, "Well, that it's important," you drill deeper than that. You require that he use the vocabulary that the teacher taught. Because Marzano's summary of all those strategies tells us that the best strategy for helping children maximize their achievement is review. I said, so you're empowering your children's learning. And you're saying to your child, in very real ways, what goes on at Mabry Middle School in Ms. Abrams' language arts class is important to this family. The parents were like, huh? It clicked. And that became very empowering to the teachers. Now, what do you think happened the second year? I start getting emails from parents. Ms. Abrams is only posting on Facebook. The truth of the matter was that she wasn't. I'm going to show you that. I just picked her name out of the hat. I need to know every day. You know, I would expect that the next year I was going to be getting emails about, and why don't I know exactly what she's saying in class? You know, where's the video cameras? You know, so you never give enough, right? So you have to clearly establish those boundaries. And the boundary was, they're posting once a week. Get over it if you don't like it. Go to some other school, you know. Of course, I didn't say that, but I thought it. All right, so here's the website. The news section, again, as I said, was my section. Let's look at this link right here. And hopefully this will load quickly enough. This was about the film festival, and it's a little slow, that's what I was afraid of. But this was from last year's film festival pictures. You can click on the pictures. They launch into bigger pictures, and you also get links. That was the video that played. It took it a second to load. You also get links here to podcasts for each, and that can each of those podcasts there contains five or six movies that were in that category, so you can see all the students' work there. So that's just the film festival piece there. Let's look at the staff. This section here is a blog. Each post, the title of the post is the name of the person. The content of the post is a bio about that person. Now, I got an angry email from somebody in Pennsylvania saying, "Why in the world don't you value the single women on your staff? You're a male chauvinist. You put yourself at the top of the list, and then the men, and then the married teachers, and then at the very bottom." And I'm like, if you'll write me a script that will alphabetize by skipping the title, the space, and then the first letter of the last name, I will be glad to re-alphabetize this list. But that's just what the software does. D is the first letter in the alphabet that it hits. And then it hits M for Mr., unfortunately. And then it hits MRS for Mrs., and so that's the way it is. But each of these is a bio that the teachers wrote about themselves, their families. It contains a link to their email address and then a link directly to their blogs. I told the teachers the objective here is for us to let people know who we are. You know, again, that transparency piece is ever so critical in public institutions, especially in a time when folks don't trust. Another section that I'm just going to hit some big things here. Under the hood of the website, this is an outline of the website. This is detailed, more information than anybody would ever need to know about what a blog is, the sections of a blog, how to subscribe through RSS, what RSS is, and we'll talk about some of that if we have time. The cool part of the website that I think is cool is Podcast Central. And this section of the website is where we published podcasts that we would make in various categories. The first podcast that we made, on the second day of school after we started all this, I made one podcast on what is a podcast and put it up there. And I asked the students when I met with them, how many of you have been to our new website? I mean, this was like brand new. It had just happened. And seen our stuff. Well, several of them had been there. How many of you have seen the podcast? One kid in the whole school, you know, had discovered this podcast, and his name was Stephen. And so after that meeting, Stephen came up and he said, yeah, Dr. Tyson, I'm a geek too. And he said, I like this technology stuff. And I said, oh, that's great. I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Since you're the first student to listen to the first podcast at Mabry Middle School, we're going to make a podcast of you about what do you think about technology and how you use technology and this kind of stuff. Then I got to know Stephen. I went and looked at his records and all this kind of stuff. This kid's smart. And so Stephen comes in, and I find out that Stephen is into robotics. He's using Lego Mindstorms at home because Mabry Middle School didn't even think of it. You know, I hate it when they beat me to something, you know? And so we make this podcast about that, and then that weekend, podcasting just had been born now, keep in mind. Just had happened that summer. That weekend, I decided to go to the iTunes store and do a search on Education K-12 at the podcast section of the iTunes store. There's thousands of them. If you're not familiar with them, you need to be. And I found this podcast by random. Just picked this podcast, this man named Mitch Resnick, who I'd never heard of before. And I listened to Mitch Resnick's podcast on Lego Mindstorms. He's from MIT's Media Lab, and he invented them. And I'm like, this is so amazing. Then I learned what these things are and that we ought to have a club at Mabry Middle School that's competing in this contest. And so then the next Monday, where's Stephen? Get him in here now. Stephen, do you know who Mitch Resnick is? No. You need to know who Mitch Resnick is because he needs to be one of your college professors at MIT when you go there. So you go and you listen to this podcast and you come back tomorrow and let's talk. Stephen comes back the next day. Oh, this is so cool, Dr. Tyson. I said, here's what I want you to do, Stephen. I want you to meet with all of our science teachers at Mabry and all of the administrators. I want you to bring in your robotics. I want you to bring in your computer. And I want you to teach us everything you know about Lego Mindstorms. And he had this bizarre look on his face. And he said, can I do that? And I said, Stephen, you tell me. Because if you think you can, I'm going to give you the opportunity to teach us. Yeah, I can do that. So he did. And today, Mabry's got a team together. And the science teachers were like, this is amazing, because we'd never heard of it, you know? Again, it's that community of learners thing. Happened because of the podcasting. So this section of the website, full of podcasts. Every time I met with students in groups, I just put my little iPod in my pocket, recorded it. You realize how easy that is. Plug it in, it uploads it to iTunes, you can post it to your website. Every time I met with parents, made a podcast. You know, I wanted people to know what I already knew. The teachers at Mabry were the best in the country. The kids at Mabry were working hard. They were sweet kids. They were learning. I wanted that message out. And I didn't want the Marietta Daily Journal in between that message and the public. So that's just that little piece. Let's see what else we've got down here. Let's go to the list of blogs. I created this page to be mean to teachers. Because this page actually tells me when the last time a teacher posted is. How many posts they have. Now, Miss Abrams, who, I'm not kidding when I tell you she was upset with that kid for her having to do extra work, who then the one at the blog. Do you see how many times she posted that year? 528 posts. She only had to post once a week. How many weeks are in a school year? 528 of them. Let me tell you what Miss Abrams did. like I said, brilliant teachers, extraordinary teachers. Miss Abrams started posting, and she's just, you know, this like revolutionized her teaching career. And she came into my office and she said, "Dr. Tyson, I want to put all of my classes on blogs. I want every student to have a blog, and I want them to post their assignments and their homework." I'm like, whoa. My theory is this: you start small, you learn what the issues are, and you replicate the successes. Now, Miss Abrams wanted to leap way, way ahead of my comfort zone. So I said, "Okay, you know, you're really into this, and that's cool. Let's take it one small step at a time. How about I find," and this was going to be a challenge in itself, "five computers that will stay in your classroom." Because Mabry went from nobody ever using computers to teachers beating each other up in the halls over, "I want them today, you had them." You know, so. So we got five computers that stayed in her classroom. She picked five students from each of her classes. These students were going to take notes online on her blog. They were going to publish that, but it didn't publish to the web for everybody to see. It published it to her. She proofread it, and she said it was eye-opening. Suddenly, she saw her class from the eyes of her students. She knew what she had said, but she didn't know what the students had heard. This was brilliant. So she then, if it was fine, and she said 9 times out of 10 it was, she hit publish and it went out for the world. These students were called scribes. Miss Abrams was brilliant because she did not pick her brightest and best. She picked the kids that didn't want to do homework. She picked the kids that, when they did their homework, did sloppy work. And one of the parts of this commitment was that all of their homework was going to be done online, published on a blog that everyone in the world could see, and we explored this, everyone in the world could comment to. The comments would come to Miss Abrams first. If they were appropriate, she would publish them so that everybody could see it. Wow. The second day that we were taking this enormous risk, I'm a risk taker. I decide I better look at this to see, how is this going? Is this going to work? Or is this, like the stem cell project, going to get me landed in jail? And I read one of the students' homework assignments, and it was full of mechanical errors. So I commented back. You know, nice work, some suggestions for improvement, and gave some specific suggestions about the mechanics of the writing. Signed it, Dr. T. Hit publish. The next morning, I walked into Mabry Middle School, and there were two little girls standing at the door waiting to greet me. When I walked in, they said, "Dr. Tyson, was that you?" Now, I had no idea what they were talking about. I said, "What, honey, what was me?" You know, she said, "Did you comment to my homework assignment?" Now, the names are anonymous. I had no idea whose assignment I'm commenting. I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, yes, that was me." And then only a seventh grade children can do. They turned around arm in arm, started bouncing up and down and screaming as they went back to class, "The principal read my homework!" The fact of the matter is that the students did far more work than they ever would have done. They took their work far more seriously. And Miss Abrams got even more brilliant. She had them writing what she called night writes about their reading assignments. But Miss Abrams didn't just have them reading any old thing. She knew the authors of the children's literature that she was having them write about. She got the authors to comment to the students' writing about their work. What stunned me was that the authors were not just, "Okay, I'll do it." They were excited to do it, because it gave them a window into their literature from their audience's point of view. So it was incredible. That got the students so excited they didn't know what to do. She knew some editors, professional editors in New York, that would reply back to the students on their research work. I mean, it's unbelievable what she accomplished with this blog thing that she never thought she wanted to do and then realized she can't live without it now. The other cool thing that this did with Mabry was it created what we called a no-excuse policy. Oh, I left the assignment at school in my locker, Miss Abrams. I meant to do it. No. Everything's online. The teachers would post on their blogs PDFs. We use PDFs because you can see them. You can see a picture of it. You know, it does that little thumbnail image of what it actually looks like. Which is very, very simple to do on a Mac. So they would post PDFs, and then they didn't have to own Microsoft Word. And we actually had parents that refused, for whatever reasons, to purchase, you know, Microsoft Word. But a PDF, anybody can download and read and have. So they would publish those. Another interesting thing that they started was doing their podcasts, publishing those up there. And then the math teachers discovered with their interactive whiteboards that they could save what they wrote on the board in class that day as a PDF file and upload it to their blog. That just was the end of time. But then, it even got cooler last year. We chose Promethean as the product that we purchased at Mabry. Promethean upgraded their software so that you can actually make a video podcast in real time of what you're doing on the board with the audio that you're saying. And so the teachers, we didn't get to this point because it happened right at the end of the year, wanted to then start making video podcasts of the math problems so that they could publish those to the website as well, so that the students could see and hear the review of what they had done in class that day. And the cool thing about the Promethean software was at the bottom of the panel there was a little stop button. So they could hit pause, and then they could go up and say, I have told you my last time to shut up! And go back up and hit resume. Yeah. So, I mean, it 15? Okay. So that was also very, very, very powerful and free. Oh, goodness, I didn't get to show you that one. So you'll have to go to mabryonline.org. It is no longer the official website of the school, but you can go there and look. I do want to show you one example of one teacher's. Let's find Ms. Larkin. There were international collaborations that we did with other schools as well that we'll let this load while I talk about those. The Mabry Global Learning Collaborative is also on there where we did a joint session with students in schools in Japan and allowed them to exchange information back and forth, podcasts, texts. When students would take trips to Europe, we would give them login so that they could post their pictures, post their content about that, their experiences there. Let's see if this is loaded. Give you an idea of how easy it is to put one of these videos on here. There's enough that we can see some of it.
In life science, we've been studying transgenics, which is the process of extracting genetic material from one organism and inserting it into another organism. He started with prepared E. coli petri dishes. Bacteria are used for many genetic transformations because its cells divide every 20 minutes. We used a loop to scrape the bacterial colonies off the petri dish. We twirled the loops in two different...
All right, so that gives you an idea of what this is. So what Ms. Larkin would do is, while the students were studying this unit of study, she had students that were assigned to take pictures of this, that, and the other. Students that were assigned to video this, that, and the other. Students that were assigned to go to websites to pull down information of this, that, and the other. And then as the review activity of the unit, the students were divided into teams to create podcasts. The best podcasts would get published on her website. By the time the students finish the podcast, they have totally memorized everything because they've had to edit and revise it so many times. And then what's the first thing they do when they get home? Mom, look at what we've done. They put it on their iPod. They subscribe to this. Oh, I forgot to tell you about having the parents subscribe to all the teachers' blogs. we actually train the parents on how to do that. And so they would put their podcast on the blogs, and then they show it to everybody. It was an extension of who they think they are. I wanted them to think of themselves as students that cared about learning from Mabry Middle School. So very, very powerful tool. And by the way, parents watch this, and what do they think? Good Lord, I didn't have to do anything this complicated when I was in seventh grade science. My God, they're working hard at Mabry Middle School. And then my last story, and then I'll open it up for questions. We hired a new teacher. She came into my office after a month or so. She said, you know, Dr. Tyson, Ms. Larkin is doing all these really cool podcasts with her students on her science units, and I think I need to do some too, which meant I hate Mrs. Larkin, you know, but I had made the staff this commitment. If you want help, I will stop whatever I am doing and assist you in any way that I can to make this possible for you. So she took me up on the offer. We trained her. She made the podcast the next time around with the next unit. She came in a few days later. She said, you know, I was very, very upset. She said, I went in and I graded all the students' papers, and I was convinced they had gotten a hold of the answer key and cheated because they all made a 100. And she said, when I started talking to students, I realized it was because they'd made these podcasts. And they mastered the material because of this process. She said, this is amazing stuff. So the podcasting with the blogging is essential, I think, for schools. It's a new way to do school that shows everybody who you are, what you do, and what you value. And you start with the blog, I think, because that's the framework that you hang it all into. You post all your podcasts, all your movies, all your digital media objects. You put them on the iTunes Store. Do you know how much it costs to have your podcast appear at the iTunes Store?
Nothing.
Zero. Nothing. It's free because it's reading that off your server. So that's a whirlwind. I could talk for hours about this stuff and go into a lot more detail. But I'm hoping that I percolated some questions up. Do you have some questions? If not, I'll keep talking. Yes, Bob.
What software did you build all this in?
This is all built in movable type, which is made by a company called Six Apart. They charged us $300 for it. I am quite confident you will not find it for $300 today. But it's very, very powerful because you can use it out of the box like they have it, but then you can spend the extra time to develop your own brand, and that's what we did at Mabry. We were deliberate. We wanted the MabryOnline.org brand. We wanted to sell what we were doing to the country. Our objective was, when I first talked about this with the staff, they smiled politely and said yes and walked out of the room, and I know they just, he's lost his mind, was we wanted to set a national standard of excellence for integrating technology into a school. Because I knew we had all the ingredients to make that possible. And not only did we accomplish that, I think we went a little beyond that because we had visitors from around the world come to the school. What do you think that does to teachers? You know, when they're sitting in a conference like this and the presenter gets up and shows, look at what this teacher at Mabry is doing, and the teacher sitting right there goes, oh my God, look, that's me, that's my picture. You know, she's so excited she can't stand it. It's all about that professional sense of pride that has been robbed from our profession by well-intentioned lawmakers. And I won't say anymore. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Dr. Kim, how long have you been out of the school at this point?
Just a few months. This year, this school year. This school year. I retired at the end of last year.
Are you happy with the way the site looks today?
It's continuing on. It's developing. The new principal is setting new priorities, which I recommended that she do, that it was time for the emphasis to move off of technology and into some other areas. And that's what they're doing. But they're definitely keeping this going. The film festival is definitely happening. They've already done the training for that, all that. In fact, I told her, I said, if you want to be tarred and feathered and run out of this county, don't do that. they'll do it. Yes, it is continuing on. And the truth of the matter is, folks, it doesn't have to look beautiful. You know, I'm just a perfectionist. I can't help that. I tried, believe me, I tried. But, you know, that branding thing was important to me because it gave a sense of online identity to who we were, which I thought was important, and it's borne out to have been. Yes, ma'am. Yes. First, let me tell you this. The biggest thing that I hear as I talk with educators is, well, we can't do this in our community or in our school district because, you know, children don't have access. The Pew Internet Foundation and Family Life Foundation did a study that is recent that indicates that 80% of students in the United States of America, when surveyed, respond that they have access to the internet at home. For some reason, educators think that it might be around 40, but it's 80%. Now, there are 20% that don't. That's real. At Mabry Middle School, we had a very small number. It was an affluent community, 6 families, some of whom didn't have it because it was the devil's toy or whatever, that didn't have that. And what I would respond, and I was just in Arizona where there's, you know, schools that are working with children that don't have electricity. You know, I mean, that's real. But my response would be, what can I do to make that possible for them? You know, at the previous school where I was, we had the school building open from 6 until 7 in the lab so that parents could come in. The trick was they had to come in with their child. And, you know, their public schools, if we got rid of resources, I would try to give them to folks that genuinely needed them, you know, that couldn't have them on their own. But I would also talk with parents about, if you want your child to have a better life, this tool is essential to that. You've got to place a high priority on this. Now, if it's between food and clothes and that, you know, then what can I do? How can I help? Yes.
You said at first they wanted to have it on their own server, and you moved it off.
Yes.
I know the issue usually is that you're covered for tort and liability if it's on your own servers. How did you get around that if there was any problem?
You know, I'm a risk taker. Take me to jail. I'm going to do in my heart what I believe is right for kids, and if that puts me in prison, oh well.
But what about the teachers?
The teachers, I would have... I don't want to be there alone. My promise to teachers was this, and I meant it, I really, really meant it, was if you do what you believe is right in good faith to reach our goal, maximize student achievement, which part of this was blogging, and you do something that blows up in our face, I will take 100% of the blame for it. And if it's successful, I will give you 100% of the credit for it. And as people started to realize, my God, the man really means that, they started taking those risks. And this would definitely be one of those risks. But I would say, no, I'm the person responsible for it because I'm the one that had them do it. You know, and I had no problem rising to that. Any others? Yes.
Can you give us sort of an overview of some of the types of things the teachers are writing? I know there's the here's your class assignment, but, you know, maybe some of the ones that aren't just here's your class assignment.
One of the teachers that was really, really astounding, Glenda Glenn, you can check hers out. She would put, she's way into differentiation, and she would put a number of resources for students to explore further and go deeper, you know, that were beyond her blog. A lot of times the just announcements and general information, we also sort of required the teacher stick to a standard format that was related to the curriculum map, because this was in lieu of having to do that curriculum map. But I'll be honest with you, and I will say, we just got started. And I have to say this gently, because I'm not trying to offend anyone. I really am not. There are those that are saying, if you're going to blog, you've got to do this, it's got to be this, it's got to have these components, and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? That's cool. It's good. It's powerful. But that's not the reality where the rubber meets the road with a teacher that is so busy she doesn't know what she's going to do next. So my goal was to make it real for the teacher, to put it where the rubber meets the road. And I think from my vantage point, that the blogging that Mabry did is at its lowest level. And I was eager to grow that. But rather than to come in and say to the staff, this is just junk, I want to start where they are and then empower them to move beyond that. And if it does not meet a real, genuine need that they have, then why are we doing it? And what they were doing was meeting their very real and genuine need, which most of the time was, this is what we did in class. Miss Abrams, I keep citing her, she would, you know, map out a whole month worth of, these are our lesson plans. And then she would go back through and fill in what we were doing and that type of thing. But that's where the rubber met the road. And in time, grow beyond that. But don't start with, this is what an exemplary blog looks like and this is what you're supposed to do. The minute you put guilt into this, you've disempowered people. You know, and my objective was to empower people to make this so irresistible they go, I've got to try that. I think I can do that. Long answer to a short question. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Like, you're going to find problem three tonight if you're difficult in the math book, and here's the way I can explain it. Seems like you're really good for parents in there.
And the other thing is, absolutely. The other thing that was fabulous, too, is before it was all over, before I left last year, everyone but the bus drivers had a blog. Literally. I'm not kidding. The cafeteria manager came in, why don't I have a blog? Okay, here's your blog. You know, the school nurse came in. You know, so these people were posting about things that were related to students that parents got that warm and fuzzy part too. The counselors, the school counselors. So, what is the nature of your child at this age? You know, they're desperate for help. You know, so they would post things like that that would help the parents as well. Yes, ma'am. I would challenge anyone to find a community more conservative than the community in which I worked. Parents that zealously guarded their children, you know, wanted what's best for them, very, very conservative. And so when we started all of this, we did several things that were brilliant that I wish I could claim were part of my master plan, but we just happened to do them. One of those things was the I form. Every parent at the beginning of the year had to sign the form, I do or I do not give permission for my child's first name only to appear on the blog. I do or I do not give permission for my child's photograph to appear on the blog. I do or I do not give permission for my child's work to appear on the blog. I do or I do not give permission for my child to appear in video content on the blog. And when we first started that, we had a small percentage, frankly, that granted permission. And then when we had the film festival and they were checking the permission forms, oh, we can't use you. What? Mom! You know, and the last year I was at Mabry, oh, I could count on two hands the number of do nots, because it just became part of it. The other thing that we did that I think is critical, when we did training at Mabry, and we moved into this, we didn't just do it immediately, we trained for staff development, teachers, with parents present, with students present. That changes the whole nature of staff development. And what happens is when parents leave those meetings, especially when they're technology-based, more times than not, at least one parent went down to the Apple store and bought a computer for their child. And they would always leave telling me things like, Dr. Tyson, why didn't I have this when I was in school? So when Cobb County wanted to raise taxes 1 cent to sponsor a SPLOST initiative, a special local option sales tax, for technology, the county as a whole didn't just say no. They went further than that. The school community in which I worked, they were totally for it. because they saw what the value of it was from an educational standpoint. This was not a toy. This was not an expensive Game Boy. You know, this was a tool to empower learning in their schools. So I would encourage you to get parents involved in learning about this. You know, I think that's so critical, and in our haste, we overlook that. One last question. Going once. Yeah. Going twice.
How did you educate the parents? Did you mention at the beginning that
we did all of it. Every time I spoke with parents, I spoke with parents using technology. The last open house meeting that I had with parents, I had the whiteboard up there. All the parents, we had 240 of the little egg things that were out there because that's the most it could handle in a session. And I asked them questions. You know, how many of you have checked MabryOnline.org/podcast? How many of you have subscribed to this? How many of you have done this? And we got data from this, and they're like, oh, this is cool. You know? And I said, you're killing me with radiation. You know? And then after the fact, they come up to me, and they would say things like this, literally. Because I mentioned how expensive a set of these voters, these active vote things are. They would come up to me, and they'd say, Dr. Tyson, let me know how much a set of those costs. I want to make sure that child has those. That's it. Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll send it to you in an email. They just, once they understand it, you know, so every opportunity, every chance I had, I was talking about why we do what we do and showing what we do. And then when they see that that's a learning tool, they get excited. And then their kids come home, you know, from school and talk about the cool things that went on, how they had to teach their teacher how to use the whiteboard, you know, because she didn't know, literally. No, it is not. Now, and I will say it like this. Pockets of excellence in a building do not systemic change make. You can have a Bob Sprankle who is a phenomenal teacher doing cool things with kids and technology. But if it's just Bob, and I don't know his school at all, but if it's just Bob at his school doing it, then it's just those children that are exposed to him that are reaping the benefits of those gifts. So if you want to have systemic change, it has got to start from leadership. And leadership has got to take some risks. There's no question about it. You know, I literally worried that I was going to get fired over that stem cell movie. But I thought, no, this is right for kids. I've got to do in my heart what I believe is right. And, of course, it didn't. And it probably never does when we do what we think in our heart is right. But it's got to come from leadership. And I mince no words about that. And I would be very excited to have the opportunity to work with any principals in any capacity that I can to empower them, because it's just as scary for leadership as it is for a classroom teacher to stand up and say, this is what we're going to do, when they don't know what it is. You know, they have to be empowered as well. So I hope that wasn't harsh, because it wasn't meant to be. But it's the reality that we face in the world according to Tim. Thank you.